You're listening to the Just One Outdoors Podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Just One Outdoors Podcast. Today, it is just Austin and I, and we're going to be talking about this crazy turkey season that we had. Not just us, but the team and a lot of people that we know as well. This is our last time recording in studio together for weeks, it seems like. Mm-hmm. Austin is going to be traveling the world here coming up in the next basically month.
Going to do some scouting in Alaska for my hunting trip. Don't tell my wife that that's what we're doing.
I thought it was for your honeymoon.
No, we're going up there. We're going to do some of the touristy stuff, and then it's just going to be a crazy few months. So we fly up there, and then we fly back into Georgia. We actually fly out of Georgia as well. And her brother, Aaron, is graduating. So shout out to him. Woohoo! Oh, I wonder if we can do this. The girls have been playing with the soundboard. I wonder if we can do it. Ha ha, look at that. Congrats, Aaron. So then we're going to spend the week with them, and then I come meet up with you in Birmingham, and we go shoot some hogs. And we've been getting pictures from Trip. We're doing it with the Camo Preacher and Bear Level, and then Zane Sturgill, I don't know how to say his name. Sturgill. Sorry, Zane. I'm calling him. We're just Zane.
Zane S.
I like it. So he's going to be down there. He won the giveaway. I think he's bringing his dad, which is really cool. And we're going to hopefully shoot a lot of hogs.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I will say, admittingly, I have not shot my bow in a while at this point.
Oh, same.
Like, we've been so wrapped up with turkey and everything else that I've been neglecting it. I'm not super worried about it. We'll have some time, and we've got the muscle memory, so theoretically we'll pick it up.
Yeah.
Fairly quickly.
And I'll be able, I'm taking the dice, the morale dice, the high roller, I think is what it's called, and I'll be shooting my bow kind of that week, but you're not able to.
Yeah.
Because we're getting away with not flying with your bow and risking it getting beat up that way. We're actually sending it with me.
Yep.
So you won't have your bow for like 3 weeks. Maybe I should give you Madison's bow to practice with just to keep that muscle memory.
Keep the muscle memory. Yeah. I'm going to spend the next week or so practicing quite a bit before you leave, and then
yeah,
it'll be all right. I'm not super worried about it. I don't plan on shooting 60 yards at a hog, so it's going to be close enough that I should make a shot, or I'm not going to be shooting. Right. It's kind of the way I see it.
I fully plan to use my bow, but I was thinking about this today, and I'm like, what do I want to take? Like, obviously I'm taking my AR, going to have my bow, but then I was thinking like, I have the 10 millimeter Glock. That could be fun to use.
That'd be cool.
Like just, especially if we get a whole sounder, just unload the Glock, just boom, 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 and see how many fall. Knowing how I shoot, it'll be none.
Oh, geez.
We'll think I hit one, and we'll walk up there and I'll be a coon that I hit or something like that.
Yeah. Shot all the babies.
I mean, I'd be fine. Is baby hog more tender? Would that be better bacon?
Probably. Is there a name for them?
Piglets.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But I'm looking forward to that, but that's all to come.
Yeah.
Busy month. We're excited for it. It's going to be our first trip since Nebraska hunting with John up there. And that was a successful trip. So hopefully this trip with Trip will be even better.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thankful for the timing of the trip too, because we kind of waited after deer season and duck season to get to turkey season.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got like a month ish till this trip. And so it just makes the gap between turkey season and deer season just a little bit shorter.
And this is going to carry us nicely into fishing.
Right. Yeah. Cause the next month is kind of like, it's going to start heating up, but it also the rivers, at least around here, are typically like 10 feet high the entire month of May. So it's going to start getting good, but it's not going to be great until probably like June.
Yeah. And here's just a little, got to get off my tongue, I guess is the right way to say this. If a river is high, do not go kayak on it. Like, if you have just that thought of, the river looks high today, don't risk your life and do it. We live, or at least I live, where I'm pretty much 5 minutes from two pretty major rivers in our area. And on both rivers the past couple weeks, there have been countless water rescues. A couple people I heard of took their inflatable kayaks out on the river when it was very flooded, poked holes in them, and then somehow made it to land and then called for a water rescue from land.
That's crazy.
So just be smart. Got to say that.
Yeah, there's a good app. There's a bunch of apps that you guys can download. And we don't receive compensation or any monetary benefit from this. one is called Rivercast. That's one that I use quite a bit. But there's just stream gauges all over. I don't know if this is for other states. I assume it is, but at least in our region. Okay, it's all over the country. So there's stream gauges all over the country. Check on there before you go float. It'll tell you what stage the water's at, how fast it's flowing, and then it'll tell you what flood is and what the median is. Just be safe and don't risk your life.
Turn around, don't drown.
Yeah, turn around, don't drown.
And wear your seatbelt.
Yeah.
Fun safety tips from us at Just One. So we just wrapped up yesterday our turkey season. Yesterday?
Yep.
Yesterday was the last day of turkey. And, you know, it kind of, we get into this as a podcast, as podcasters, where it's like, which I don't even feel right calling us podcasters, but it's like, oh, we don't have a guest on. But like, this turkey season has been that good that we just have to keep covering what's happened, because it seems like we record an episode and then all of a sudden the next day, literally last week, we record an episode and the next day it was like another bird on the ground.
Yep.
And it was just a wild season. And I mean, we've already talked about Madison's, my first, your first. Actually, have we talked about my first? I don't know if I've talked about. Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
It if all blends together.
We'll pretend point. That I have. And yeah. Then probably at least my favorite story of this year, aside from Madison's, was Clyde and Emily doubling up on their first birds.
Yeah.
That was really cool. That podcast actually went out
today.
So, but then, so after all of that, all the success that honestly, truly blessed to have the season we've had just with that, you and I have an incredible week of turkey hunting.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you want to go first? Tell us about your bird that you got.
Yeah.
Was that yesterday?
It was yesterday.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Really cool. So I got to hunt with a couple buddies that I'm really good buddies with, but don't get to hunt very often with. Kind of grew up with them. And one of them, Andrew, he got his first deer with us this year, and he's starting to get into hunting. It was kind of cool. It took him, I think it was like the first weekend. Maybe it was the second weekend, right before the second weekend, before we went as a group. Mm-hmm. Him and I and Caleb, we went on a Friday morning and heard a lot of birds. And I felt like that was a success just because right. He'd never been before. I'm like, dude, you got to experience what it's like just hearing him gobble. Like, mm-hmm. It's really cool. And so he really liked it. And we got to go to a place that I haven't turkey hunted before with my friend Caleb. And so long story short, we've been out there a handful of times. They went out a couple times without me. And there are a bunch of birds out there. Mm-hmm. And so we went, let me think, Saturday morning, the three of us got in this little pop-up blind. Like, we barely fit. I wish I had a picture of it. I should have taken a picture, but it's super small. It's a pretty old blind that Caleb's dad is letting him use. And it's nice because it just pops out and you can put it wherever you want. Mm-hmm. And with turkey, they're not really weary of blinds the same way that deer are. Like, I feel like with a turkey, especially if you have a decoy, you can just pop that thing out and like, they're not going to think twice about it. Whereas mm-hmm. a deer is like, okay, I haven't seen that. You know, what's going on?
Yeah.
So anyway, we popped this blind out and we have one lawn chair in there, which took up way too much room. We had one of the like just three leg crotch rocket type deals. And then we had one of my turkey seats. And so it looked like I was in the back. The other two were in the front. And like, I was like, not really straddling one of them, but kind of, because it was like, it's like you're riding a roller coaster, basically, like how we had to fit in this thing. So it was super jam packed in there. And so Saturday morning, it was like fairly rainy, misty, and pretty early on, we were hearing gobbles. And then all of a sudden, a hen comes out, which was really cool because Andrew, I think it was Andrews, was the one that saw that one. So it's it's always cool to take someone who doesn't go very often. They're the first one to, you know, see whatever you're hunting. Yeah. And it was across the field, and it was a hen, and it started slowly kind of just moving around in this field. And then we saw another hen, and she started doing the same thing. So the second one, she kind of fed for 5 or 10 minutes and moved off in the woods. I thought the second one was going to do the same exact thing, and it just stayed in the field. It would kind of wander off, and I'd call a little bit, and it would kind of come back toward the decoy, but it never would get in closer than like 60, 80-ish yards. Mm-hmm. Well, Caleb, at about 60 yards, I was like, dude, like that's about as far as you can shoot, but that's a makeable shot if you want to shoot that far. And like, he kind of hesitated, and then it kind of moved off again. And so we're sitting there, and basically how the lay of the land was, is there's a Lintel hill that we were on top of, and then kind of a valley, Lintel hill, and then another valley. So it was on the forest valley. And so he just decided that he'd kind of just go after it, and we'd watch it for an hour. If he gets a shot, great. If not, whatever. I forgot to mention that pretty early on in this, we realized it had a beard, so we knew it was a legal bird that he could shoot. He'd never shot a bird, and, you know, I think any one of us would have shot a bearded hen at that point. Like, who cares? So he crawled out of the blind, like, kind of just hunched over, walked to the edge of this field, and I'm watching through the flap, and the thing, like, it sees him, and it pops its head up, and he just pulls the gun up, shoots, and it flops. It was like a 60-yard shot, maybe a little farther than that. And he'd never shot that gun before with turkey shot. And it fell over, and like quickly I ran out of the blind and ran over to it and, you know, stomped on it a little bit. And he didn't really know what to do. Like, he was just shocked that I think he hit it. I was like, we can't let this thing fly off. And so we ran over to it and stomped it. First bird, bearded hen. It had like a 2 or 3 inch beard. I mean, he was super excited. We were all super excited. It was cool to be together for that.
We're so excited to share about the presenting sponsor of the podcast, Killdrift Outdoors. I can't tell you how many times deer have winded us, especially as we're mobile and sitting on the ground on public land. That's why we've partnered with Killdrift and are using the Drifter, a portable and rechargeable scent dispenser device to repel mosquitoes and cover our scent. While repelling mosquitoes is a great feature of the Drifter, its primary function is to cover human scent using smells like acorn blitz, sweet corn, and buck nasty. Not only is the Drifter super affordable, but with a rechargeable battery, you no longer need butane. Go check them out at killdriftoutdoors.com.
Let's be honest, we all have days we hit snooze, skip the workout, and eat a pizza, but we all know being healthy is essential to maintaining the lifestyle we love. Fit to Hunt has changed the way we pair fitness and hunting. They offer DIY workouts, personal training, and custom workouts tailored towards specific hunting goals. They make the workouts super simple with step-by-step instructions and videos, so the planning is all done for you. Go check out everything they have to offer at the link on our website.
So then, kind of after that ruckus, we're like, all right, it's not even 8 o'clock now. Let's just walk the edges of the property, make some calls, see if we can strike anything up, and then we'll just move back to the spot. Did that, came back to the spot, sat back down after being gone for 30 minutes, and bird fires off after a minute of sitting back in the blind. And I called like twice, and then 2 minutes later, see a redhead across the field. I'm like, all right, here we go. And so now it was Andrew's turn to shoot. And the bird, like, he was strutting. I mean, he was fired up. Face was completely white, coming straight toward the decoy across the field. Caleb was recording behind me. I'm kind of trying to coach Andrew through it a little bit. And it gets to like 50 yards, and it's still strutting, coming into the decoy. And I kind of whisper to Andrew, I'm like, you know, you can kill it there whenever you want to shoot. Just, you know, if its head is tucked like that, you need to make sure that it's facing you. Like, it's dead on. If you're going to shoot when its head's tucked, shoot when it's dead on. And so it's like 50 yards away and it kind of turns right as right before he gets ready to shoot, and he shoots and we just see feathers. It flies off and that was that. You know, hindsight, always 20/20. We've talked about it a lot. It's like, man, I probably should have told him, okay, just wait till it gets a little bit closer. Probably would have come closer to the decoy. The decoy was like 30 yards away. So maybe it would have come another 10, 20 yards. But I did feel like it was a makeable shot. I think the problem was, and I'll take the blame, is I didn't know exactly how far it was. I didn't really know about the gun, although Caleb had just made a pretty far shot with it. So I kind of had some confidence from that. But it was a shot that I felt comfortable with. That doesn't necessarily mean it was a shot that he felt comfortable mm-hmm. with. So there's kind of like that balancing act there. Still crazy morning, still super like just cool experience right. to kind of get to experience together. So we called it a day, and this is all leading up to my hunt. So I apologize for just talking nonstop for like 5 or 10 minutes. So the next day, Andrew and I went out to the farm Sunday morning and saw a hen, saw some deer. They got super close. The hen got like 10 yards from your decoy, which or from the tent, which was really cool. Had a gobbler that we kind of spooked walking out. He never gobbled. We didn't hear a thing the all morning. So it is what it is. I mean, we also talked it about happens. That. It's like, what are you going to do if the bird's not talking back? I mean, how do you know that it's there? Mm-hmm. So Sunday afternoon, Caleb and I, we decided we'd go back to the place that we went Saturday morning. It was raining pretty hard, but we felt like we had a shot out there. One of the guys that lives out there sent a picture at like 1 or 2 o'clock of a tom strutting with a hen right in the field where we were hunting the day before. And so we pull into this place. There's a pretty long gravel drive, probably 300 yards long. Right when we pull in, I can see like 150 yards in front of us. There's a hen just moving through some tall grass. I didn't know it was a hen at the time, just a turkey moving through the tall mm-hmm. grass. So I just kind of quickly pull off to the side. I'm like, hey, let's just grab our guns, go up there and like see what's going on.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be hard to describe without like a visual, but basically there was an edge of a field. And so there's trees kind of along that corner. Mm-hmm. They were in the field and they moved past the corner and were in some taller grass. So we had complete cover walking along the edge, kind of like at a 90 degrees. And then as soon as we got to the corner, they would be in the field was mm-hmm. the idea. So I didn't even put my boots on, had my slides on that I drove out there in. We got our guns and kind of just walked to the corner. And the hen was standing like 30 or 40 yards in the field. She pops her head up and sees us, kind of trots towards the tom, which I'm just staring at the tom. It's like 40, maybe 50 yards in the field. And there's an evergreen right in the corner that we're standing behind. And Caleb's standing there. I'm standing there. And there's like a perfect gap in the evergreen where I can see the tom. And his head is just straight up. And I just told Caleb, I'm gonna shoot. And yeah, just put it on his head and shot. And he flopped over. And that was that.
Heck
and we
yeah.
like we literally just walked out there. We drove out there, walked like 50 yards to this corner, and he was standing right there.
Jeez.
9 or 10 inch beard. I haven't measured for sure. Spurs were really short, which was weird for how long the beard was. Still super cool bird.
Yeah.
We were both super pumped about it. And I just couldn't believe that like that happened that way. Like that stuff doesn't happen for right. me.
I remember you called me, you woke me up from a nap and I was like, what the heck's Cam calling me for? And he's like, I shot one. And I'm like, it was probably 1:30, 2 o'clock. No, it was probably later than that.
It was like 4 o'clock.
Yeah. It was like 4 o'clock. Yeah. So I'm like, you shot one. And going through my head. So last year in Missouri, it was hunt till one and that was it. This year on private land, you could hunt all day. So part of me was like, did Cam just like, just go shoot a bird, just to shoot a bird, like somewhere? Like it didn't register like, oh, he can hunt all day.
Yeah.
So that was the first thing. And the second thing was I was like half awake and he's like, I shot one. I'm like, wait, where, what? I didn't even know you were hunting. And this is my first time hearing the full story. And you were like, yeah, we just pulled up and got out and walked up to the field and shot. And just the whole story. But one thing you said that I remember was like, I finally had one of your hunts.
Yeah.
So I have to ask, were you wearing blue Hanes?
I don't remember. I don't think so. Probably, I think they were blue.
He probably was.
I don't remember.
Blue Hanes.
Probably blue Hanes.
Blue Hanes.
No, it was it was funny. I was talking to Caleb about it after. Just a couple funny coincidences. Call them coincidences. Whatever you want to call them. But we had actually forgot the tent that we were going to be using that day at Caleb's place. So we turned around like, and we were probably 3, 4, 5 minutes later than we would have been if we had had the tent and, you know, we're on time, quote unquote, that situation doesn't happen at all. Like right. It was literally the perfect situation that hen crossed out of our line of sight right as we pulled in, mm-hmm. where she wasn't freaked out that we were there and we didn't drive right past her. And like, it was just a complete freak thing that happened. And then another thing that we kind of joked about was after Caleb, like crawling out of the blind, walking and then shooting one, and then that happening out of the, like, I'm going to exaggerate, but of 100 times we've tried that kind of stuff, turkey hunting, and it's never worked. Mm-hmm. And then it worked two days back to back. It was just ridiculous.
That's insane
that it worked out that way. And lots of fun. It's cool getting to hunt with other people and kind of mm-hmm. get to experience that with other people. It's definitely going to go down as a turkey season to remember tagging right. out. This is my first time killing a turkey in the spring and got two this year. So I'm due for disappointment next year. But yeah, but I want to hear about yours.
One of the things that's helped us over the last couple of years having more success in the woods than ever before is the ability to be mobile. Spending time in the woods and taking note of animal behavior is great as long as you can adapt and make the information useful. That's where saddle hunting comes in. We've partnered with Buzzard Roost Saddles to accomplish our saddle hunting needs because they're at the forefront of innovation and comfort in the saddle hunting market. Take it from us. If you're hunting from a tree for hours on end, comfort is super important. If you're not saddle hunting yet, you should be. And if you're looking for the best saddle on the market, you'll find what you need at BuzzardRoostSaddles.com.
Deer season is over and it's time to get those skulls on the wall. A skull hanging on the wall represents the accumulation of hard work and rich memories with family and friends. Here at Just One, we're hanging our skulls with skull hangers from Kambosh Outdoors. They're super easy to hang and prices start as low as $9. Go check them out at KamboshOutdoors.com and save 10% at checkout with code JUSTONE.
So mine, I had planned to go out with Dan, and that morning I wake up to a text that says pretty much he's not going to make it. He had like a kid that was up all night.
Excuses.
I know, excuses. No, definitely understood. And, you know, he's like, you're still welcome to go out. And we were going to one of his properties. And I was kind of like, man, I don't know if I want to go out to his property without him.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like I was thinking about where I would go, and it's like 5 a.m. I'm barely awake, and I'm just like, you know what? I'll just use this. I'll go to his property, said I could, and I'll just use that as more of a scouting observation type hunt. And, you know, because we had kind of known where the birds are, but we had some ideas of where the birds might be also. So it was kind of like, I was like, I'll sit in this bottom field and I'll see if I can get a bird in this field, because it's like this perfect like clover field, nice and green. Everything else around it is like brown or
yeah,
has like cows in it. So I get out there and park my truck, and I mean, it is 5:30. I think shooting time was 5:45 that day, or roughly that. And, or like sunrise was, I guess shooting time, sunrise was like 6:15-ish around that. And I get out there and at like 5:30, one sounds off, like as I'm getting out of the truck, and I'm like, okay, good morning. This will be fun. So I'm gathering my gear, you know, I'm like, I have plenty of time to get, cause I'm just walking down a hill.
Yeah.
Well, I get down there and I mean, it is birds hammering left and right. Excuse me. Got some burps. Anyways, we'll cut that part out. Birds hammering left and right. So I'm like, you know what? Forget this observation sit. I'm going to go kill a bird. We have a week left of season. Actually, not even a week. Because I killed mine on Tuesday. Yep. And season ended Sunday, so yesterday. So I'm like, I'm going to see if I can make it happen. So I go up to kind of this other patch of woods that's on the edge of what's typically a bean field. It hasn't been planted yet, so it's just kind of weeds and dirt and stuff. And I get up there, and I'm kind of looking around, I'm doing like the hoot owl type thing, trying to get the bird to strike up. And they kind of go quiet as I get up there. So I'm like, I don't know where to set, but I know they're just down here. And I was like, this whole season has kind of proven to me. And I know in Deegan's episode, the one that he hosted, he kind of talked about how, like, I wasn't getting the birds fired up. So now I get to talk bad on him since he's not here to defend himself. But what I realized is gobbles were a lot closer than in my mind I was thinking they were. So these birds sounded like they were 100 yards down the fence row. But really, I was like, if I go too far, I'm going to bump them. And they could be. The other thing was I was hearing like three of them. So I was like, the first one could be 50 yards down. So I need to be cautious of where I go. So I just tucked in an area. And as I'm like, there's a fence there that divides the beans and the woods. So as I'm like putting stuff across the fence, a hen in the tree above me spooks and flies. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, this hunt's over.
Yeah.
Well, birds keep gobbling. So I'm like, okay. And I, you know, get set up real quick. Sun's finally starting to come up where I can see. Get set up. And I'm sitting on like a tree that is like maybe an inch and a half in diameter, like tiny little tree. And every time I breathe, it's moving all the like limbs and weeds around me. So I'm like, but everywhere else I sat up, I was shooting through a barbed wire fence and I didn't want to damage or hit the fence. So I'm like, everywhere else I would have sat up that had enough cover was like 10 yards off the fence. So I was like, I could have still shot through it, but I was kind of like, I don't want to risk that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not my property type thing. So I sat right on the fence and I'm calling, you know, every so often, just letting them know I'm there. And they're hammering at everything. I mean, crow calling, turkey, like yelps, things like that. Person stepping outside saying, have a nice day, honey. They are everything. And then all of a sudden I hear the deepest gobble I've ever heard from my right. These birds were to my left. Now from my right, kind of down across a valley, I hear another gobble. And this one is like, you know, when you're in the woods and you hear a Jake, a Tom, and then you hear the Tom. This was the Tom of the area. Like his gobble was so deep. It sounded like a Jake almost. Like he almost was switching back to the Jake gobble. It was wild, but I end up seeing him and he's like 300 yards just cruising this field on the other side of this tiny little like valley type area. And he's gobbling his head off. So I'm like, I could get to him. Like, so I'm, you know, going through like, all right, do I move? And at the time, the ones on my left, two of them had got further away. So I thought they had flown down into a different field. And I was like, well, those birds are moving away. They probably saw that I spooked the hen and I don't have a shot at them anymore. So I'm kind of running through all that in my mind going, do I make a play or do I sit and wait? And I come to the conclusion, I'll call one more time, wait about 5 minutes, see if anything gobbles, and then make my move. Because this bird was just, I knew where he was heading. And funny enough, he was heading to the field that I was originally going to sit in. So anyways, I start calling, and instantly I'm cut off by a gobble. And I'm like, oh, snap. Like that in the video, it doesn't sound that close, but this bird was like 50 yards. And I'm like, okay, set the call down, pick up the gun, and wait.
Yep.
I'm kind of looking over there, and I think I grabbed my box call with the gun shouldered, and I kind of just let out some real small, like, purrs and clucks just to kind of confirm where he was. And again, just answered back. And finally, I saw him kind of crest his hilltop. I saw his fan, and I saw his head. And his head, kind of like yours or Andrew's was, just white. And I'm like, okay, cool. And I mean, he gobbled all the way in. I'm talking like probably 30 times alone.
That's awesome.
Coming in. And, you know, we have a video that will be coming out at some point of it. And I think I sent it to Cam just to watch and review. And he's like, man, those birds were fired up. And I'm like, dude, I had to cut out like 75% of the gobbles that I heard because either you couldn't hear them very well or it was just added space in the video.
Right.
But they were fired up. And this bird all of a sudden went from like quiet to fired up. And it took him probably 20 minutes to strut and drum and spit and come all the way in. And then he committed. Well, the bad thing was this is all before the sun is up, and it was still behind some trees. So I was shaded. But then when he decided to come, the sun had fully rose, whatever, into the sky. And I mean, I was just bright as could be. Sun was on my face, felt like I was tanning. And I'm like, I had really good cover to my left, no cover to my right or in front of me. And this bird gets to in front of me, and I'm kind of like moving the camera slowly to record him. And as he's getting closer and closer, I notice him start to look my way more than he was at the decoys. And I was like, shoot, he's catching the reflection. I'm going to have to shoot him before I want to. And sure enough, like I get the camera turned and he's like coming at me, like trying to figure out what I am almost. And this bird's at 20 yards. I honestly thought I was going to shoot him at like 3 yards based on how they travel in this area. And, you know, I have the gun shouldered and I have my finger on the trigger and I kind of just move my arm to kind of better brace the gun a little bit. And he catches that movement and the glare and kind of goes, nope, I'm out of here, and turns. Well, I was on him at that point and I just squeezed around off and he dropped just boom, straight down. I don't even know if he flopped again. Like in the video, you see pretty much every pellet from this shell hit his head pretty much.
Yeah.
Like it was wild.
Yeah. The video was pretty sick.
He fell. Have I showed you like the slowed down version of it?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
To show you, dude, if you like slow it down to like really slow, it looks like a kill shot from like Call of Duty. Like, you know, when you're playing like, what was it? Team deathmatch.
Yeah.
And it's like final kill or whatever. And it kind of shows it and it slows it way down. That's what the shot looks like. You just see this bird just get hit and then him fall to the ground. It was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
But
yeah. At the farm yesterday, that's what I was telling Andrew. I was like, I'm going to get this on video. And if he was going to shoot the hen, because I was trying to figure out if it was the bearded hen or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like 10 yards away, that video was going to be insane. Like,
right.
Its head was going to be 100 yards away after he shot.
Dude, but it's just been one heck of a season.
It's been great.
Like, I can't believe it's over.
Yeah, it went really, really fast. It was funny, Andrew, yesterday, he was like, so I'm going to have to wait a whole year to do this again. I'm like, yep.
Yep.
And, you know, I can see how people get into it for sure. It can be so much fun. It can also be really boring. So there's somewhere in the middle there. But this year was a blast.
It was one to remember. I mean, first time you and I have tagged out. and first bird for you, first spring bird, I guess.
Yeah.
For you. Was it your first tom too?
Yep. Yeah. The one I killed in the fall was a Jake.
So quite the year for you.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was just for the team. Amazing. I think we were talking earlier and we were involved. You and I personally were involved in 5 or 6.
Yep.
And the team total killed, I think, 9.
Yeah. Crazy.
So quite the year.
Yeah. It's great. Numbers aren't in decline, whoever's saying that. Maybe they are in your area. I don't know.
I don't know. But
this year we had great luck. You know, one thing that helped us was we preached about it with deer hunting, but having some other places to go, I think it went a long way, especially with Madison hunting this year, mm-hmm. you hunting, me hunting. It's like, you know, between the three of us, we ended up with 5 birds. We couldn't have killed 5 at the farm.
No.
So,
and honestly, I'm kind of glad we didn't kill any others because it sets us up for next year. I mean, we had 5. We could have killed 5, but it would have been hard.
It would have been really hard.
I think we had 5 Jakes and 3 Toms, and 1 Tom made it, and I don't know how many Jakes made it. I know 3 are still alive for sure.
Yeah.
But, man, it was quite the season with just having extra properties to kind of bounce around at. But also, I think a big thing that you and I did was we communicated on things we were seeing. And, you know, we started the season using the funky chicken. And right off the bat, I had a hen come in and lay down and want to breed with the funky chicken. And yeah. I'm like, that shouldn't be happening with my decoy. I mean, it can happen, but with 3 toms in the area, it shouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
So we switched that up, and I think your story of it is probably the best example, is you used it one day, saw toms, they saw your decoys, and they just weren't committing.
No.
And you pulled it, switched it out. Did you use my half strut, Jake?
No. Nope,
or you just used the lone hen? Lone hen, 2 come in, yeah. Shot 1.
Yeah.
And you know, that it's a similar story for me. Used the funky chicken, had a Jake come in, pulled the funky chicken, used the half strut, had probably the biggest bird on the farm come in to 10 yards from us, right. 20 yards from us, something like that. So I think that really set us up for success in like we were reviewing every hunt almost and going, really taking honestly some of our advice where we're like, hey, every time you go out, you should learn something.
Yeah.
And we really applied that this season in a practical way where we learned something every time we went out, and it led to success later in the year.
Yeah. No, I was going to bring that up too. It was 9-day difference when we started using or not using the funky chicken. And, you know, to your point of trying to learn something new, I think that we have done better on calling than we have in the mm-hmm. past. We've talked about it a little bit in the podcast, but you can do so much turkey hunting to hurt yourself. It's not like deer season where you're just picking a spot and waiting. It's like you're the main motivation for getting a bird to come in and you killing one, which is why it makes it so challenging and also makes it fun. But one thing that kind of shifted in my mind, and I think yours as well, is, and I don't remember who we were talking to. Maybe it was Paul. Maybe it was, I don't know who it was. But they just talked about how, like, naturally the toms are gobbling and the hens are coming to the toms.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I kind of had known that, but I didn't really, like, internalize that until this year. And it's like, okay, if I'm going to, like, actually get a tom to come in, me calling back all the time, nonstop, especially right after he gobbles, it's just not going to mm-hmm. work. And so I think this year, just having more patience, being like, all right, I'll call every once in a while to try and get a bird to gobble back to let him know I'm here. But when they gobble 2 or 3 times back at me, I'm just going to shut up and wait. And pretty much every time I did that, a bird came in. And it's not like I was using a great call, and it's not like I was a great caller. I was just yelping and maybe doing some purring, and that was like it.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of just changing our thought process a little bit on that. And for me personally, made a huge difference this year.
Yeah. I mean, my first year, I remember sitting in a blind with a mouth call, not being able to use a mouth call very well. Still can't use it very well, but I just do like a sequence of like three yelps every like 5 minutes. And that was all I knew how to do. And it didn't work for me because, I mean, I'd hear gobbles. I wouldn't hear gobbles. But it was the same sound. And turkey makes such a variety of sounds that you got to change it up a little bit.
For sure.
Obviously, the yelp is probably going to be your number one. But having the purr, the cluck, being able to do that, and don't get into the thinking that you have to use a mouth call. I used a mouth call very rarely this year. I use more of my box call and things just because I'm better at using those and creating that variety of sounds. And kind of like Alex, I think he was the one who was kind of talking about it. It's like you have to kind of talk sexy to them.
Yeah.
You have to entice them to come in. And that's, you know, that's what we did. And another thing that I wanted to kind of go back to decoying a little bit. On one of my hunts with Dan, where we doubled up, we had the decoys set up. We had a breeder pair and a feeder. And the breeding pair, we put the Jake behind the hen, and the hen was looking out away from us. And we, even though we killed something, or killed two birds, had a great hunt, we took away two things from that hunt. And the first one was, if you're doing a breeder pair, and you put a half strut or whatever you have right behind a hen, that hen's already locked down, and most birds aren't going to come over to it because it's like, oh, she's already submitted to him. This is a locked in situation. Like that sort of thinking. So why do it?
Yeah.
Or why come over? But also with the hen was looking away from us, and those toms went out and fanned in the direction that she was looking. So they moved further away from us. They started like 40 yards from us and ended up at 70 yards. Fanning out, doing all the turkey things,
yeah.
And then started to move on. The only reason that they came in was because the Jakes came and fought them and then came over, and it was pretty much a gang of Jakes that decided they wanted to come over and beat up this other Jake that was about to breed a hen. But just thinking about that, and you know, my favorite setup this year, and I'll probably use it to start next year, was a feeder hen just as another turkey in the area, to kind of draw some attention. And then putting a half strut in the same general area of what I used was an Avian X, and I just set it on the ground. I don't know which decoy it was, but it kind of looks off to the left a little bit. Set that on the ground and set it out like 40 yards and almost face it not directly at you, but kind of in your general direction, so that for the breeder hen to see the toms, it has to come in between you and that hen, and then it provides you with a closer shot, ideally. Yeah. As we've talked about, turkey are so unpredictable.
Right.
That's not going to work 100% of the time. I can't guarantee that, but that's kind of what worked for me this year. You had the lone hen, a less aggressive option, which I think the less aggressive option worked well for you because we had already shot at a bird and killed a bird in that same area. So yeah. I think if you would have had an aggressive, like a half strut, I think it would have been harder to get those birds in.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but
I think kind of what we've talked about too is, like, using a breeding pair or a half strut, it's just going to take a little bit more aggression from mm-hmm. a bird to come in. Nothing wrong with that. It can be super effective. You yeah. had great luck with it. With the lone hen, one thing that I found was most of those birds that aren't the dominant bird are a lot more willing to come into that. And the flip side is the hens, I feel like, are more open to just coming in and mm-hmm. roaming around and stuff, which is also enticing to other toms and jakes in the area just to follow the hen. Or yep. maybe they're following a hen anyway, and because the hen is willing to come into the decoys, now that tom or jake is mm-hmm. as well. So moral of the story, probably not going to be using the Funky Chicken anymore.
Yep. Funky Chicken is for sale.
It's for sale.
I will say, I think the Funky Chicken will work if you have a very aggressive bird.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. I think the issue, like you pointed out, is the head is just so big.
Mm-hmm.
Like the beard is short, but like it stands straight up and its head is like twice the size of a normal bird.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, well, no wonder it's not working.
Yeah.
I almost wonder too about those breeding. Like we saw toms one like trying to breed and their heads being super white. I kind of looked it up a little bit and I've seen people that will like spray paint the heads white. I wonder if that would have any sort of like effect on maybe the Funky Chicken, maybe some other decoys. I know I've seen people do that in videos mm-hmm. and I've never really wondered why. Maybe something to play around with, but
yeah,
who knows?
I mean, what we did this year worked.
It worked. I'm like, I don't know if I want to change it up.
To be fair, we've done it. Actually, I haven't used my setup that I used. I've used a lone hen before and that hasn't worked for me. So pretty much moral of the story, don't take our advice. We are not good turkey hunters. We just had a really good year.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we're making up for lost time.
Yeah. But it was a great year and we're blessed to Absolutely. Have had the year we've had. It's taken some time to get to where we are, but I really feel confident heading into future seasons that I now know what I can change. Maybe not know, how do I want to say this? I know the right things to do to kill a bird. I can't do the right things all the time to kill a bird. Like I'll have seasons where I don't kill a bird.
Sure.
I'm sure of it, but I'll be able to look at situations and go, should have done that different.
Sure.
Shouldn't have put that there. And that just comes with time in the woods. So if you're new, I guess this can kind of be around our campfire. We haven't done that in a while, but around our campfire or confessions under the oak as the girls would call it.
Yeah.
Which I lost what I was going to say. All of that.
You're talking about new people learning.
New people. Yeah. There we go. Just get out in the woods and try.
Yep.
You may be met with so much failure. Like, so much failure. Like you and I both have. I mean, how long did it take you and I to kill a bird?
Me, 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, and I think it took like, me 5 years. Maybe 4 years.
I think it was 4 for you, but...
Still, I mean, multiple seasons, multiple sits. Last season I didn't kill a bird and I hunted, I think every day, but like 2.
Yeah.
So you're going to be met with failure, but just keep trying, keep learning, and really just embrace the suck because that's what's going to make you better. And now, you know, you and I, we not only tagged out, but we took people who also killed birds, which was really cool. Mm-hmm. And I think in the future, I don't see as many quote unquote failures happening.
Yeah. Not as many learning the hard way. Or mm-hmm. I see failures happening, but more of like, okay, the bird just decided to do this or the mm-hmm. bird did that. Whereas it was stupid stuff like us just not shooting in the past or, you know, just stuff like that. And
or us waiting for the perfect time to shoot instead of like, I could shoot through this tree or I could wait for the clearing, not even a tree. I could shoot through this small bush or I could wait till he's clear. And it's like, shoot him when you get the shot.
Yeah. If you see the head and it's 40 or 50 yards away, shoot. Mm-hmm. No, that it's been a great year. Going to be one that I remember for a long time, not only because fans are going to be going up on the wall, which I'm excited about, but that hunt with Ash was crazy. And then with the just couple of days with Caleb and Andrew, it was wild. So excited to get back after it next year.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm all about the turkey tour type deal. I think it'd be cool to go chase one in the mountains or something like that.
I want to get my slam, but I'm not necessarily like single season slam. That's, it's like I'll build to it.
Right. You know? Same way.
Like kind of like, oh, you know, this year I'll go hunt Florida.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
But that all comes behind like here's confession under the elk for me. All of this, like such a great season, all of that. It's still is not my favorite hunt. Like, I'd much, it all comes behind going to Alaska, going to Colorado, going to some of the big whitetail states. If I have the opportunity to do, like, all those will come before I chase my slam.
Right.
But I'm slowly going to build there. One last thing we have to mention before we wrap up is, actually, it's going to be closed, but go vote on the turkey challenge. I don't know what we're really calling it. You can win a custom just one plaque for your mount, for your beard, for your fan of a turkey you harvested. And you'll also get some just one swag, which would be cool. So go, actually, no one can enter that. They can't enter. Go yeah. vote on that for someone to get that.
Yeah.
Oops. But anyways, we'll probably go ahead and wrap this one up. Hope you guys enjoyed listening to yet another success story, successes stories. Anyways, we'll catch you guys on the next one. If you like this, or if you want to be on the podcast, reach out to us, shoot us a DM, slide into the DMs, do whatever the kids are saying these days. And with that, don't give up. All it takes is just one turkey.